Okay, continuing our journey through the Torah through the lens of Machloksos Rambam versus Ramban, we got to Parshas Truma. The truth is that for many rabbis, this is a walk in the park, right? You get to Parshas Truma, you start talking about the Mishkan. It's a pretty easy. Can you all hear me still? Okay, mine froze. It's a pretty easy guess to figure out what you're going to talk about and basically the contours of the discussion. And I'm not going to have any, not going to go against the grain over here. All right, we're talking about the Ramban versus Ramban with regards to the Mishkan. And what I want to talk about is essentially what is the purpose of the Mishkan for the Rambam and for the Ramban. We're not really discussing the question of whether the Mishkan was given before or after the Chet HaEgel, whether it was B'diavad or L'chatchila. That may factor into the discussion. Certainly the Ramban's position on that is very clear, that he thinks that the Mishkan was always going to be given. It was L'chatchila. The Torah is in order, whereas Rashi doesn't think so, it would seem. But the Rambam doesn't really say anything about it. You can infer, but he doesn't really say anything about it. So I don't want to get into that discussion. I'd rather just discuss in general, why would Hashem arrange for a Mishkan or for Beit HaMikdash for that matter, as one of the main ways for us to interact with him? And it certainly is one of the main ways that Bnei Israel have interacted with him through history. And even our tefillah nowadays, which is based on the Korbanot, refers to the Beit HaMikdash. And we, to this day, continue to pray for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. Even the Rambam writes about it as well. So why is that? Okay. Does anybody want to try to take a stab at it, what the differences might be between the Rambam versus Ramban with regards to this issue before we even begin? No brave souls? All right.
Not I.
So let's go. So the first place we'll look in the Rambam, we could look in the Morne Nevuchim to begin with, but we're not going to start there. And the truth is, there's so much stuff here. I'm not sure what we're going to cover tonight, but why don't we start at the beginning? So the Rambam is Hilchot Beit HaBechira, which is the halachot that he wrote in Mishneh Torah with regards to the Beit HaMikdash. He says, Mitzvat Aseh, Lasot Bayit LaHashem. There's a Mitzvat Aseh to make a house for Hashem, Muchan Liot Makrivim Bo Korbanot. That it should be ready to bring korbanot. We go there 3 times a year. The Mishkan itself was only temporary. The Beit HaMikdash was permanent. So according to the Rambam, there is a mitzvat aseh to make a Beit HaMikdash. In his Sefer HaMitzvos, okay, which is basically the introduction to the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam elaborates a little bit on this. He should livnot Beit HaBechira la'avodah. To make a Beit HaMikdash for avodah, for sacrifices. That's where we're going to go every year. That's what it means when it says Vasuli Mikdash. He has more to say, and then at the end he says, he says all of the implements, all of the kelim, all of the utensils. Those are all included in the Mikdash, which means, by the way, that these are all included in this single mitzvah. The Rambam does not have separate mitzvot for the building of the Beit Mikdash, for the construction of the Aron, for the menorah, for the No, he has one basic mitzvah that says you have to make the Mikdash and all of its implements. It's all one. Omnam, amru b'mizbeach, mizbeach adamat ha'aseli, she'echashev b'zeh, she'hi mitzvah b'fnei atzma, chutz mitzvot Mikdash. The only exception is actually the mizbeach adamah. The Mizbeach outside, which was used for Korbanot, right? Which separately Hashem said, make one for me. He says, I'll tell you the secret really is that the reason why there's a separate mitzvah is because we actually have a mitzvah to bring Korbanot even when there's no Beit HaMikdash. And we bring them on a Bama. So Mizbeach Adama, you can make in your backyard. Now we can't anymore because there's no heter bamot, but at a certain point in history there was a heter bamot, and therefore people could make a bama in their backyard. They could make a basically a mini mizbeach in their backyard, make a mangal, and bring korbanot in their backyard, certain kinds of korbanot. That was that. So for that reason, there is a separate mitzvah of the mizbeach. Just to pause here for a second. If I had to ask you now, according to the Rambam, what is the purpose of the Mishkan slash Mikdash? Now we should have some brave souls, no? I even underlined it. Korbanot! Thank you, Karen. Basically, the purpose of the Mikdash or the Mishkan, according to the Rambam, is that we need a place to bring the Korbanot. It's a, what we call in Halacha, Hechitimtza. It's a way of achieving the ultimate goal, which is the Korbanot, the Avodah. So we need a place to do that. So we have to build a house in order to do that. Okay? Fine. That's where we start. Now we'll go to the Mor Nevuchim. So the Mor Nevuchim, the third section, he talks about different classes of mitzvot. And so here he's talking about the 10th class. Okay? So we're in section 3, chapter 45, and he's up to the 10th class. He says, the precepts of the 10th class are enumerated in the laws of the temple, the laws of the vessels of the temple, and et cetera, et cetera. Use of these precepts we've stated in general terms. And now he says as follows. It is known that idolaters selected the highest possible places on high mountains where to build their temples and to place their images. Therefore, Abraham, our father, chose Mount Moriah, being the highest mountain in that country, and proclaimed there the unity of God. According to the Rambam, the idolaters, though of the Avodah Zarah, when they would bring Korbanot, they would do it on the highest mountain so that everybody could see it because it was Mechubad. And that's the reason why Avram chose Har Moriah to do Akedat Yitzchak and to do everything else he was going to do. Now, beyond that, Avram also selected the western part of the mountain as the place toward which he turned during his prayer. So Avram prayed to the west because he thought that the holiest place was in the west. And he says, this is the meaning of this of the saying in our sages, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, the Shekhinah b'ma'arava, the Shekhinah is in the west. Now this is interesting. A little bit surprising to see this in the Rambam. A little bit hard to make out. Okay. So it's a little bit surprising to see this, given that the Rambam, you know, doesn't talk much about these kinds of esoteric matters. What does he mean when he says that the Shekhinah is in the west? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, right? So why say that the Shekhinah is in the west? What is that supposed to mean? So the answer is, afochba v'afochba, it's in the next verse, sentence. He says, I believe that he did so because it was then a general right to worship the sun as a deity. Undoubtedly, all people turned then to the east. Abraham therefore turned to the west and turns his back towards the sun. In other words, the Rambam takes all the fun out of it, right? What does the Gemara mean when it says that the Shekhinah is in the west? It simply means that it's better to turn towards the west and not to the east, because what's in the east, at least in the morning, the sun rises in the east. So because the sun rises in the east, so it's better to face the west.
It's really not a satisfactory answer, because the sun is in the east and later it's in the west. So
that's fair, but when you worship the sun, you worship it when?
Whenever you choose to worship.
In the morning. You worship it when it comes up in the morning. That's when you worship. You don't worship it when it goes down. That would be that's a little bit of a slap in the face. You worship it when it comes up in the morning. And so therefore, when we wake up in the morning, we worship towards the west, according to the Rambam. It is a stretch that this is what the Gemara means when it says that the Shekhinah is in the west. Oh, because we should face towards the west so that we don't face towards the east. It's a little bit strange, but consistent within the Rambam. According to the Rambam, as we're going to see, many of the things that have to do with the Beit HaMikdash and everything else for that matter have to do with rejecting and doing the opposite of what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do. So, for example, it is known that the heathen in those days built temples to the stars. We know that in those days, Ovdei Avodah Zarah built temples and set up in those temples the image which they agreed upon to worship because it was in some relation to a certain star or to a portion of one of the spheres. They set up images of the stars. Therefore, what do we do? We build a temple to the name of God and to place therein the ark with two tablets of stone on which there were written the first two commandments. That's what's important to us. In other words, those are our quote unquote stars, right? Things that were given to us by God. Now, it is clear that the belief in the existence of angels is connected with the belief in the existence of God. And the belief in God and angels leads to the belief in prophecy and the truth of the law. We know this because the Rambam writes how angels are usually the conduit through which the prophet receives his prophecy, right? He dreams, an angel speaks to him, and that's how he gets his prophecy. That's typically the way things work. Just hold on 1 second. Just switch to the other Wi-Fi. You may lose me for a second. And I'm back. Everybody hear me?
Good.
Okay, good. It should be better now. So, therefore, what do we have on top of the Aron? In order to firmly establish this creed, Hashem commanded the Israelites to make over the ark the form of two angels. Okay? We put angel on the ark. Many people have an issue with this. Doesn't that seem like Avodah Zarah? We're worshiping the angels. The Rambam says, no, the angels are on top of the ark to send a message. The two luchot inside, those are given to us through prophecy, and we maintain a connection with God through prophecy, and that prophecy is carried through angels. We're not worshiping the angels. They're just a symbol. He goes on, he says, by the way, it's important for there to be two. Why is it important for there to be two kruvim? Because if there would be one, then it would look like we're bowing down to the angel. If there had only been one figure of a kruv, the people would have been misled and would have mistaken it for God's image. By making two, we're distinctly, and then nevertheless declaring Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, obviously, this is not God, because there wouldn't be two of them if that was God. Just to continue a little bit more, the Rambam gives more symbolism. There was a candlestick. The menorah was in front of the curtain of the parochet, of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was the purpose of the menorah? A sign of honor and distinction for the temple. Why? For a chamber in which a continual light burns, hidden behind the curtain, makes a great impression on man. It's very impressive. Ambiance. Creates a mood. Yeah? It fills you with humility, mercy, and soft-heartedness, according to the Rambam. Moving on, the use of the altar, for instance, and the altar for burnt offering and their vessels is obvious. Okay? It's obvious that the purpose of the burning of the incense is to create, again, an ambiance, a mood, to make it smell good. Because a lot of the burning animals definitely did not smell good. Right? But then the Rambam says something, quite frankly, astonishing. But I do not know the object of the table with the bread upon it continually. And up to this day, I have not been able to assign any reason to this commandment. Pretty amazing. Rambam says he doesn't understand the purpose of the Shulchan or the Lechem Apanim upon the Shulchan. I find this at the same time mystifying and inspiring that the Rambam should admit that there was an entire mitzvah, an entire object in the Mishkan he just does not understand. And he says he never has understood it. Right? This is akin to Shlomo Melech saying, I understand everything, but then once I hit Parah Aduma, I realize I understand nothing. Rambam is saying, I don't get it. What I think what he means is he can't fit this into his context of being anti-Avodah Zarah. I guess he could not find some kind of right, some kind of tradition amongst the Avodah Zarah that had something to do with Lechem or the opposite of Lechem. Maybe that's what he means when he says, I don't understand it. Anyone else find this quite amazing that the Rambam should write something like that? Amazing. Thank you, Baruch. Now, just one last point before we sum up the Rambam, the position of the Rambam, just based off this last thing that he says, why is the Rambam, why does he seem not bothered by this? Is that also amazing? He's not bothered. He doesn't say, you know, I asked all of my Rebbeim, or, you know, this has bothered me, or, you know, if you figure this out, write me a letter. You know, it doesn't seem bothered. So maybe the reason for that is if you go backwards, okay? Earlier on in the Amor Nevuchim, the Rambam says a general thing. He says, we believe that there is a reason for every precept. Although there are commandments, the reason which is unknown to us, and in which the ways of God's wisdom are incomprehensible. So on one hand, it could be that there is a reason for it. We just don't understand. That could be. The things that are clear are called the Mishpatim. The things that are not clear are called Chukim, etc., etc. But then he says, I have found an utterance from the Bereshit Rabbah, he found the Midrash, that implies that some commandments have no other reason to perform, except for the fact that they are commanded. In other words, they're gzerah. Gzerah, there's no meaningful human reason for doing something except that Hashem said to do it. For example, the Midrash says, what difference does it make to God whether a beast is killed by cutting the neck in front or in the back? We know that most shechita is done in the front, right? Usually when you're shochet a cow or a bird, you do it from the front. However, how do you cut the chatat ha'of? Are there any kohanim in the room? You can take a guess. The chatat ha'of in the mikdash, it was cut from behind. There's a different word for it. You know the word for that? It's not shechita, it's?
Melika.
Melika, there you go. I learned everything I know from my father. It's not shechita, it's melika. So it's melika when you cut from the back. Seems very strange. It sounds like shechita is always done from the front because of some reason. But then we have melika done from behind. You can't have both ways. It's either this or it's that. So the Torah says, the commandments are only intended as a means of trying man. As the verse states, the word of God is a test. Hashem's word is a test. So sometimes Hashem just gives us mitzvahs and says, I want it done this way. Don't ask why. It doesn't matter why. So the Rambam says, this passage is very strange. But he says, but each commandment has necessarily a cause as far as its general character is concerned and serves a certain object. But as regards its details, we hold that it has no ulterior object. This is another amazing thing. Thus, he explains, killing animals for the purpose of attaining good food is certainly useful, blah, blah, blah. But he says, we don't do it with nechira, just by poking the animal. We do it by shechita. But you know what? Shechita could be from the front or it could be from the back. Sometimes it's from the front, sometimes it's from the back. Does it matter? He says, frankly, no. Hashem has a general plan for the mitzvot, but the details can occasionally, it appears, be somewhat arbitrary. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Hashem wants you to do shechita. Do you do it this way? Do you do it that way? From the side, from the front, from the back? Frankly, it doesn't matter, except in the sense that Hashem tells you to do it a specific way. He says, the law that sacrifices should be brought is evidently of great use. Apparently, it's important for sacrifice to be brought. But does it matter why this one is a lamb and that one's a ram and why it's 2 or 3 or this one has to be 3 years old or it has to be 4 years old? Does it matter? The Rambam says, frankly, no. And those who trouble themselves to find the cause for any of these detailed rules are, in my eyes, void of sense. They do not remove any difficulties, but rather increase them. Amazing. Rambam is saying that we only are interested in the general reason for mitzvot, but as for the details, he says, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. It has to be done some way, right? It has to be some way. Hashem, it's important.
On the one hand, the Rambam is saying here, don't sweat the details. I don't have to know the reason for every single thing. But just earlier we read that he really can't explain the reason for, what was it, the Mizbeach or the Lechem Apanim, which means he was looking for a reason.
So, he was thinking, he was thinking.
I don't need to know the reason. But earlier he was looking for the reason.
Right.
For
so I think what's going on, well, I mean, I guess you could read it in one of two ways. The way that you're reading it is he really thought that there should be a reason for the Lechem Apanim. I think maybe he relaxed and he stopped looking because he said to himself, oh, okay, whatever, Hashem wants us to have a shulchan with bread on there. That's important. But why does it have to be bread? Why are all these details? That's unimportant. And then he gave up. That's how I read it. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he really did want to find something. But the reason I brought this was so that you would see that it's not really the biggest deal for him if he can't find the reason. That's what I thought. Okay, but let's recap for a second. Again, as Karen pointed out at the beginning, the reason that the Rambam gives in general for the Mikdash is that we need a place to bring the Korbanot. He adds on that the Kelim themselves act as a mood creator. Right, they convey certain symbolism, certain basic theological ideas, and they create an environment. Okay, which means that they are much more about form than they are about function. Right, the reason why there's a menorah in the Mikdash is that because the menorah does something. Does the menorah do something?
It creates a mood.
It creates a mood. Is that doing something? No. It's like, you know, you put stripes, you put nice wallpaper on the wall so that when you come in, you feel nice. Okay, you paint your room yellow or blue or whatever, and you think to yourself, that's going to create a mood. Okay? Or, you know, you have an Aron Kodesh and you have Kruvim on top in order that when people come in, they center themselves with the idea that there's such a thing as prophecy. The way that, you know, a teacher puts things on the wall so that when students come in, they remember, you know, certain math formula or, you know, psukim in the Torah or whatever, right? It doesn't do anything, but it creates, it's an education and it creates an environment. The only thing that's really happening is that people are coming to serve God. They're coming to serve God through Korbanot, through Tefillah, through the Kohanim, through Trumot, through Masrot, through interacting with the Sanhedrin. It's a community center. Okay, it's a community center where we come in order to do our Jewish stuff, according to the Rambam. I don't mean to belittle it. I'm not. And I don't mean to simplify it. But I'm just trying to describe, according to the Rambam, what the purpose of the Mikdash is and how all of the, you know, all the furniture plays into that. Okay? So he's firmly in the form camp. What about Ramban? So Ramban, in the beginning of Truma, so he says, he gives a whole introduction, actually cut some of it out. He says, what's the purpose of the Mishkan? Kasher Dibur Hashem in Yisrael, when Hashem spoke to Israel, Panim al Panim, when he gave the Aseret HaDibrot, when he recited the Aseret HaDibrot, we became God's people. Me'ata, hinehem lo la'am, v'hu la'am l'aluhim. We became a nation of God. And because of that, because we're Kadosh, we need a place for Hashem to dwell with his Shechina amongst us. So right off the bat, what is the purpose of the Mishkan according to the Ramban? A place for Hashem to dwell amongst his sanctified people. The bottom line is the purpose of the Mishkan, the main reason why we have a Mishkan, and the apex of the Mishkan, I guess you'd say, is the Aron HaKodesh, because that's where Hashem speaks to Moshe from Me'al HaKaporet. That's why the Aron goes first. And then after the Aron, you have the Shulchan and the Menorah, that they're also Kelim. Okay, fine. So in other words, according to the Rambam, as Baruch said, the purpose of the Mishkan is to have a Makom HaShechina, a place for Hashem to dwell. Whereas the Rambam focused on the people, B'nai Yisrael, a place for us to go bring Korbanot. The Ramban is focusing on God. This is a place that we build so that Hashem should dwell amongst us. What's the idea? What's the sod of the Mishkan? So here he says the ikar chefetz b'mishkan, right? Or the purpose of it. But here he says the sod of the Mishkan. The secret of the Mishkan. I don't think sod is really a secret. It's something else. The metaphor or the, it's not a metaphor, the mechanism of the Mishkan really, is that what Hashem is trying to do is replicate the experience of Har Sinai. Hashem dwelled on the top of Har Sinai while we were there. We saw God. Hashem's kavod fills the Mishkan, the same kavod that we saw in Har Sinai, the same word, kavod, is used in both places. Says it's used twice to parallel to that. And in other words, what was the purpose of the Mishkan? That as they traveled through the Midbar, they would have a portable version of Har Sinai. Exactly. A portable version of Har Sinai. That was the purpose of it. Just like it says, and by the way, he goes into all the linguistic similarities between the experience of Har Sinai and the Mishkan. won't go through it all. There's a lot over here. It's very dense. But he also goes through, interestingly, some of the imagery, which is the same. So, for example, I'll give you one example. He mentions how, where did Hashem speak to Moshe Rabbeinu? I mentioned it before. Where did his voice come from? Rashi makes a point of this.
Cloud of smoke.
Do you remember where did Hashem's voice come from? From between the two kruvim. It was like antenna. From between the two kruvim on top of the kaporet. That's where it came from, when Moshe would enter into the Kodesh. Ramban says, it's interesting, the kruvim are kind of made out of, you know, this chrome. They're made out of gold, right? They're kind of shiny. And there's this fire that's constantly being, you know, that's glowing from the Kodesh, which is reflecting off of the kruvim, making it look like what? Making it look like fire.
Fire.
Making it look like fire, exactly the way that it looked on Har Sinai. So Hashem's voice is coming through that fire, so to speak. And he says it, basically the entirety of the Mishkan was in order to replicate the experience of Har Sinai and to maintain that experience and to have us keep going with it. That was the entire point of it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into it. We don't have to read the whole thing, but that's basically the point that he makes. I did want to point out two other things from the Ramban. Number one, what the Ramban was unsure about, the Ramban was very sure about, and I think it's telling that he works so hard on it. In the psukim of Zer Zav Saviv, this is the ring of gold that was around the Shulchan. It was around all the kelim, really, but there was a Zer Zav Saviv. Fancy schmancy. It's a crown, but it was like this. I don't know what the word for it is. Very delicately embroidered gold ringlet around the top of the Shulchan. Siman leketer malchut. This is a siman. A zer is a crown. This is symbolizing kingship. Shal shulchan sham osher ugdulahu. It symbolizes fortune, wealth, and greatness. Kamo shamrim shulchan melachim. Lashon Rashi. That's what Rashi says. V'chein adavar shezeh sod hashulchan. The Ramban says the sod of the shulchan, the purpose of it, the meaning of it. Ki birkat Hashem me'et hayot ha'olam lo nivra yesh me'ayin. Because bracha, okay, the fortune, the influx of blessing that comes into the world by God is not yesh me'ayin. Hashem only did ex nihilo creation, something from nothing, yesh me'ayin, only one time, when the world was created. From then on, it's always yesh me'yesh. He takes what's already existing in the world, right? Law of conservation of energy. He takes what's existing in the world and he shapes it into what he thinks is going to be a bracha. So, everything goes as it's supposed to go. When there is something already existing that can receive more bracha, Hashem uses it. Everybody remember the story with Elisha and the Isha Shulamit?
Yeah.
What did Elisha ask the woman when she needed money? What did he tell her to do?
Wasn't it to fetch all the jugs and fill them with oil?
That's right. He said, here, take one jug that has oil in it and fill all the empty jugs in your house with this one jug of oil and you're going to have a Hanukkah miracle. It's not going to stop. And she filled all the jugs and she was able to sell them, right? She was able to sell them for money, but she was able to fill all the jugs from one jug. Why did Hashem not just say here? Why did Eliyahu not just say, boom, all of your, Elisha, sorry, boom, all of your jugs are filled with oil? Because that's not the way the game is played. You play it by having something that you already have and then increasing it. Same thing. So the Ramban says that's the role that the Shulchan plays. The Shulchan is covered with Lechem Apanim. Hashem's bracha for the Jewish people comes through there. Without the Shulchan, there would be no klei kibul. There will be no receiver for Hashem's bracha. That's the role that the Shulchan plays with the Lechem Panim. It's like that first jug of oil. And everything overflows from there. Okay, fine. So according to the Ramban, there is a purpose to the Shulchan, but the Rambam would never say this. Why would the Rambam never say this? Because for the Rambam, these kelim, these implements, they don't do anything except what they physically do. The menorah provides light. The Mizbach HaKtoret provides smell, a good smell. The Aron HaKodesh has the angels on top of it, which evoke theological ideas. And so when he gets to the Lechem HaPanim, he says, well, nobody's eating this bread. Well, actually, the Kohanim eat the bread, but you know, it doesn't need to be there. What's the point of it? Whereas the Ramban says, no, there's a mystical purpose to it. There's a miraculous purpose to it. Because each one of these kelim, the Ramban goes on to say what the menorah does, what the Bach HaKtoret does, what the Aron does, what the Mizbech does. Each one of them, when you perform a mitzvah, it has some kind of supernatural ramification. It's not just the concrete object and what it does. There are spiritual effects of the performance of each one of these kelim. Yes, Karen, you're raising your hand so quietly and nicely.
Well, it just is reminding me of the ongoing debate in education regarding STEM being science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. What is the place of the arts in this? Because Rambam seems to be taking the pragmatic approach, these things do what they're meant to do.
Right.
And the Ramban is saying, no, the aesthetic matters.
Oh, well, I actually would have said, I would have phrased it the exact opposite, funnily enough, Karen, because I think that the Rambam sees each one of these kelim as having a form. They add to the mood, they add to the educational value of what's going on in the Mishkan, but none of them actually do anything to God, for example, or the rest of the world, or for the Jewish people. Whereas the Ramban says, no, each one of them is mechanical. The Shulchan, by using the Shulchan, we bring Shefa into the world. By using the menorah, we bring wisdom into the world, into the Jewish people. By using them, each one of them performs a function. See, the way that I read it.
I definitely see what you're saying. Definitely. Yes.
Okay. So for me, the Rambam is form. The Ramban is function. For the Ramban, why do we have a Beit HaMikdash? Why do we have a Mishkan? It performs a function. The Mishkan performs the function of giving Hashem a place to dwell. The Shulchan performs a function of bringing Shefa into the world. For the Rambam, it's totally different. Why do we have a Mizbech? Why do we have a Mishkan? For us, so that we can have a place psychologically to center ourselves, to connect. That's how I see it. Make one last
question. We can ask a similar question on both of them. According to the Rambam, where the purpose of the Mishkan is for Avoda, well, why do I need a centralized place for Avoda? I can just do an Avoda wherever I live or whatever. And according to the Ramban, where the place is, it's a home for Hashem. Are you telling me Hashem needs a home? Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere, as we all know. I can ask the same question on both of them.
So I think the Rambam would answer your question and say that in Achinami, you could do it in your home, but there are many things that would go wrong if you did that. Number one, you may not do it at all. Number two, you lack the communal aspect to it, which even the Rambam would agree is significant and meaningful. The Malbim actually says that's the most important part of the Beit HaMikdash. The Malbim actually says the whole point of the Beit HaMikdash is to have a place for Jews to get together. You know, have a good children, more than that. But that's what he thinks. So there's definitely a psychological value to having a communal place. And in terms of the Ramban, and in terms of, forget what your question was for the Ramban.
Why does God need a place to live?
Oh, yes.
Everywhere.
So the answer is, I don't know, but that doesn't bother me. In other words, yeah, you're right, but it's esoteric in a way that I don't necessarily understand. He dwells in the Mishkan in a certain way. He speaks to Moshe from between the Kruvim. He speaks to Moshe from over there.
to say that he dwells in the Mishkan almost sort of implies that this is his dwelling place and other places are not his dwelling place.
That's true. I mean, it's more his dwelling place. What? We believe that the Ramban is the one who says that Eretz Yisrael is special because Hashem dwells here in a way that he doesn't dwell anywhere else, right? In many ways. I can't say I know what it means, but...
That's a little unclear. I was about to say that. It means that Hashem doesn't dwell in the United States or in South Africa or in Spain or anything like that?
No, definitely not in the same way. For sure not in the same way.
What does that mean?
But for me, the two run into each other. The form promotes the function. Because of the form, it's a focus for people to feel Hashem's presence. And you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. So I think the difference would be that the Rambam would say the form is the only thing that helps you feel Hashem's presence. And you could feel Hashem's presence anywhere, just that the form kind of helps you. Whereas the Ramban would say, no, this is the only place where you could feel it. And there's a reason, because it's functionally the only place. You can't pull off the same thing in your home. You can't pull off the same thing in London. You can't make a Beit HaMikdash in London and have a Shulchan over there and have it work. It won't work. And you can't make a Shulchan that looks a little bit different and have it perform the same function. It won't work either. It has to all be the right way, and only then does it work. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, so you need the form for the function. That's how I see it. It's not exclusive. You can daven anywhere, but you need this focus. And I think Am Yisrael, after Sinai and the golden calf, they needed a point of focus. They needed this presence to travel with them. And how could you do it without the form? So you had to create a form so that people could identify with this function that Hashem is with us. So
I guess to clarify,
running into each other.
Right. I guess to clarify, what I mean by the distinction between form and function is that form is more about style, regardless of whether it's, well, functional or not, whereas function cares less about the style, or at least cares more about whether or not it works and is effective. With Rambam, effective is not a word that makes even sense with regards to the Beit HaMikdash, because it's not supposed to do anything. I think the point is made. Just the last thing that I wanted to point out was just the Ramban's Asagot L'Mitzvot Aseh. Whereas we saw that the Rambam says that we're gonna include everything in one mitzvah, the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mikdash itself. The Ramban says, at least with regards to the Aron, it has a separate mitzvah. He says, "Lo hukshar be'inai atam shekata bo arav shamar shehem chelik michalkei mikdash, v'she'ein akelim chelik min habayit, aval hem shtayim mitzvot, v'einan ma'akvot zu adu, v'karvin b'bayit, af al b'she'ein bo kelim elu." The Ramban says, there is a mitzvah to make the Mikdash, and then there's a mitzvah to make the kelim. They're not the same. They're not the same. The Rambam thinks it's all the same because it's all one rubric of making a place where you can go do the avodah. Whereas the Ramban says, no, there's a mitzvah to make a mikdash, which is the place where Hashem dwells. And then there's a mitzvah to make the kelim, which each one of them does something specific. There's the Aron and the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. Each one does something specific. So they have two separate mitzvot. And I think it's consistent with their dispute writ large about the purpose of the Mishkan. Karen, is your hand still up from before, or you have something new to say?
It's still up from before. I do not have anything new to say.
Okay, fine. Okay.
In chadash tachat ha-shamash anyhow.
Okay. All right, so that was the point that I wanted to make in general, the Ramban versus Rambam, whereas the Rambam thinks that the main purpose of the Mikdash is the Korbanot, and then the details really are only for the purpose of educating Bnei Yisrael about the true religion and monotheism and prophecy and all of that. And the things that he doesn't understand don't bother him. And the Ramban sees things very, very differently. He says the purpose of the Mikdash and the Mishkan is for there to be a place for Hashem's presence to dwell amongst the Jewish people. And each one of the Kelim performs a function independent one of the other. And it's not about how the people think. Of course, it's also about people think. But even if you didn't think those things, they would perform that function, right? The Shulchan performs its function whether regardless of whether people are looking at it or not. The menorah performs its function regardless of whether people are looking at it or not. For the Rambam, the only purpose of the menorah is to illuminate and make things look nice. That's the only purpose according to the Rambam. But according to Ramban, it's different. That was the main point.
Okay.
Right. Thank everybody for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.